This is the KGEZ Good Morning Show with John Hendricks and Robin Mitchell. Now, Glacier Bank's Community Conversations. 15 minutes with one of Northwest Montana's newsmakers.
Glacier Bank's totally free checking saves you both time and money. Visit your nearest Glacier Bank office today. There's a convenient location near you. Glacier Bank, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender. And today we welcome our Kalispell City Manager, Doug Russell.
Good morning, Doug.
Good morning. Thanks for having me in.
You bet. So I'm thinking, you know, I get into a swimming pool. And I somehow or another get some water up my nose, or I swallow a little water, and I get more chlorine in my system than I do PFAS.
That'd be very much accurate in terms of the concentration levels in that. And that being said, you know, we take it serious. You know, and it's one of the things that, I actually am happy to talk about to kind of put things into the perspective of where we're actually at with that situation. Currently, there is no regulation on PFAS. There's an advisory that was put out, basically identifying that they're looking at it and they're doing some trending on it to identify, you know, what they're going to put in. So right now they have the limits of, as an advisory level, of like 4 parts per trillion. But that's for exposure over a lifetime. And that takes in all segments of the population.
Okay.
So what they're saying is if you're exposed to levels above that, there's a potential for risk over the course of a lifetime. What they're doing right now, and we met with the policy director for EPA when we were out in Washington, D.C. a couple of weeks ago, just to see and try and get an update on the regulation of when it was coming out. And through those discussions, some very interesting components came out. One is it's never going to be a point in time, you know, a one test signifies it. They're going to take averages out of tests. And since we had tests that had were zero for, you know, the one of those wells, we would be under that limit of the advisory right now as it currently exists.
What are they saying? We have something like 2/100ths of a part per trillion?
It is in the parts per trillion is on the limits, you know, some of them, and they vary depending on the specific chemical they're looking at. But I mean, you're talking about a very, very small amount that, you know, and I want to go back because, you know, we had a work session on this in front of the council on emerging contaminants, including PFAS, and there were articles written back in 2022. We voluntarily started testing the water when we had an opportunity for funding. We thought, well, yeah, absolutely, let's grab it. So we talked about it in front of council in November 2022, saying, okay, we had the one hit. We need to keep testing to see what actually the levels are, because it is such a small amount that the sensitivity is that much greater. And in our talks with EPA, they were talking about, you know, the what they consider exposure, and they consider an individual's exposure to PFAS from a water supply is 20%. That means they're getting exposed on the other 80% to PFAS from other areas, be it food, airborne, different things of that nature. So it is just a very prevalent chemical that's out there. We just did another round of testing just to try and get that actual trend line of where we're at with it. And hopefully we'll have those results back in a couple of weeks. It's such an emerging chemical that there's very few companies that test for it. And you know, that will grow as other facilities are, and the regulation comes into play. But it's just one of those things that, you know, we just need to keep testing for it and see what those levels are. And in the meantime, again, hey, you know what? We'd want them to be zero. That's why our Public Works Department is looking for funding to address it, even though we don't know what that regulation is. You know, we anticipate that at least one of the wells will have, and, but that's under the advisory for that lifetime exposure.
So how much is all this going to cost us?
Yet to be determined.
Now, I going to myself, what is a PFAS? They were first used in the 1940s and are now in hundreds of products, including stain and water-resistant fabrics, carpeting, cleaning products, paints, firefighting foams. So we see, you know, we've been living with them for years. You know, I kind of preferred being oblivious, I think, because, you know, all of those products, they've bettered our lives. They've protected us, you know.
Well, I can say I appreciate the perspective, and there's true. There's a certain amount of risk in everyday life.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
I would say, and in defense of the regulation, right. is anytime something like this has emerged from a federal regulation standpoint, it creates a tension point like
yeah.
this.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, some and the Clean Water Act, the Clean Air Act, everything. Well, you know, we've been living all our life with it. We'll be fine. That's true. You know, we do have that risk in everyday mm-hmm. life, but it's also important to see, okay, but what can we do to yeah. be a little bit better for our health?
Okay, so...
And extend that. So yeah. We're at that tension point with a new mm-hmm. regulation, and they're looking at it, and they understand the gravity. I think last report I read was, like, out of 3,000 public water systems tested, like 1,800 had tested positive.
Okay, now this isn't going to be an unfunded mandate that's pushed down... there would have to be federal support, I would think, I would hope.
Well, we'll wait and see.
Okay.
right now, there's emerging contaminant funding, which is what mm-hmm. we're applying for, but
yeah,
it's...
Yeah.
And again, I always say on any of these federal funds, those funds come from somewhere, and it's the taxpayers that ultimately that, pay income taxes to the federal government, so... there is technically every mandate is unfunded yeah. outside of the taxpayer. It's just the nature yeah. Of where that works. You know, I think they're taking some time, and they did the same thing with lead and copper rule, is recognizing yeah. that this is going to affect a lot of systems nationwide. What is the science behind it, and how are they going to go forward, and really looking at that lifetime exposure. And I think that's a big thing to, identify is where they're looking at it. More than likely, there is no regulation in FDA right now. So, people talk about, yeah. well, I'll just go to bottled water.
Yeah.
Well, that may not be a safer alternative, depending on that. Some tests had yeah. 25 parts per trillion in yeah. bottled water. Mm.
And lifetime exposure is based on the current, the life expectancy chart. Maybe, I don't know. It's all kind
well,
of...
Well, it's something we want to be concerned about, but...
Absolutely, yeah. and we tell everyone, do your education.
Yeah.
We're not advising anyone to go out and buy filters or do that. That's up to the individual mm-hmm. and their relative level of risk. But at this point, based on... the discussions that we had with EPA, like we said, the one well that hit higher and that had been previous hadn't hit would have been under that advisory over their projected mm-hmm. testing. Now, again, they weren't sure yet at that point, what that time frame is going to span for creating the averages, and they weren't even sure what the limits were going to be yet. So we're still kind of in that waiting mode of please tell us what the regulation is so we can provide more information.
Councilville City Manager Doug Russell, our guest, and it's Safe Streets and Roads. We've been planning for it. Let's find out where we're at after this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How's your day going? All right? Well, it's about to get even better. This is Jolene for Glacier Bank, member FDIC. I have news that will help your life run smoother, more efficiently, and maybe just a little more fun. Glacier Bank's brand new online banking platform has launched. That's right, your better banking experience is here. Go online or download our new Glacier Bank app in the App Store or Google Play Store. This platform is a pleasure to navigate, and it securely takes care of your banking needs quickly so you can get back to your day or night. Experience streamlined 24/7 access from your computer, tablet, and smartphone. We know you are going to like it.
Glacier Bank's Community Conversations. Here again is John Hendricks.
We're talking with Kalispell City Manager Doug Russell. I was over at City Hall when you had the display up of the roads and safe streets planning project. And so I'm on my way out. And And he said to me, "Did you leave any comments?" And I said, "I don't even know what I saw." My gosh, the incredible amount of work and research that's gone into this and determining, you know, boards where, you know, where crashes have happened, where property damage has happened. Doug, for crying out loud, that's a tremendous amount of data.
Yeah, you know, what they're really trying to look at and plan that roadmap for the future and take all the different variables into account. And, you know, looking at that downtown corridor, and that's been a topic of discussion, you know, for the, you know, 12 years I've been here, probably the 30 years before that, mm-hmm. in terms of, you know, what do you do with the downtown corridor and the couplet and, you know, every traffic plan that we've put in place that in working with MDT always identified, well, this corridor just needs more study. And mm-hmm. before they can make that final determination of what they want to do with it. So, you know, we had the opportunity to go for the federal grant and received that, the Safe Streets for All grant. So they're in the midst of really digging deep into that corridor, what traffic volumes mean on it, what the probabilities are for risk and any potential, you know, accidents, and let that be somewhat of that guide in terms of, okay, then what does that mean for the corridor? You know, how many lanes does it need to be? What are the dimensions? You know, what do we do with the sidewalks and extending them out into Main Street in the downtown area? So they're right in the middle of all that work right now. And, you know, we anticipate that'll lead to, you know, the next step in any type of implementation or test program through it. So really just trying to outline and look forward into the future of, you know, you get the data behind it, and then you take that next step towards, yeah. you know, acquiring funding for implementation and ultimately the final project.
When I was talking with Jared Nygren, and he's just, you know, "Well, leave us a comment." I said, I have no words, Jared. There's so much data that you've collected on this, and we're still not even close to coming up with any real conclusions, are we?
Well, you know, that's just part of the process. You know, you started out with a divergent technique to get it all out on the table. And mm-hmm. so, you know, you start at a point and then just really widen that breadth, and I'm doing some great hand gestures that I realize no one can see on radio, but you get that big breadth of data, and then you start converging it down into a singular point, and it just kind of shapes itself. And unfortunately, sometimes we just get in that point in time where you enter the discussion, and you can just be overwhelmed by the data. But mm-hmm. you know, we try and stress is, okay, those next steps will start narrowing it down and getting us to the point where we need to be.
So we have another open house coming next month?
There'll be multiple opportunities for mm-hmm. The public to provide, and they have a website up and going for it and continuing some outreach. So, yeah, keep abreast, and, you know, feel free to contact Development Services and Community Development if anyone has any questions. But really trying to continue that outreach in terms of getting public input and really help guide what that corridor is going to look like.
Well, we've heard a number of things like, let's take, for example, the intersection here at Woodland Park and Woodland Drive coming up there from, Conrad Drive.
Conrad, mm-hmm. yeah.
So MDT has decided that we're going to put a roundabout there?
Yeah, you know, they've been looking at that for, probably 5-6 years yeah. in terms of planning for it and looking at the alternative options. You know, it's on part of the highway system that's managed by the state. So they're looking at it through, a similar type of analysis of looking at the safety components of it as you're coming up the hill there, especially as you look into winter and looking at all that crash data. And yeah, so they'd identified around about a couple of years ago and just been in some of that mm-hmm. preliminary design phase and continuing to look at it. And I think that they're at the point now where they're looking at a 2026 build on mm-hmm. that project.
Yeah, that's
so,
what I saw.
Yeah, continuing just to go through the steps that they have within their
system. I couldn't even visualize what it might look like. And then I saw the layout and I thought, wow, you know, this is impressive.
Yeah, they can do some pretty good things, with engineering and taking advantage of the geometric designs that are existing, and how do you then manage them into a traffic flow that works well. And, you know, the challenge is anytime you do any type of adjustment to the geometric configuration, you do have a little bit of change, and it takes a little while to adjust.
Well, Robin drives that every morning.
I drive it every morning. Of course, there's no traffic then, but uh-huh. I've gone through it at traffic times. when you're headed north on Woodland, boy, it's hard to see traffic coming up the hill.
And they don't stop.
No, they're through. And if they're going over the speed limit, it makes it even trickier. So a roundabout would slow that down. But I haven't seen the pictures of the intersection the way they planned it. And it has to be kind of on the level, right? I mean, I don't know.
Well, it's really neat the way they leveled it all out there. And it doesn't look like they took a lot of property, extra property.
I was thinking they would have to move it a little bit north or something through that intersection, and it could be flattened out. And I don't know.
Well, my kid I went to school with over at Hedges, Jerry Begg's house is right there. Of course, he still lives in that house. He grew up in that house. His folks were there. And, you know, my gosh, no change in their place.
Well, yeah, you know, like I said, they
it's right on the corner there.
I think, the Montana Department of Transportation has been through plenty of projects in terms of what's needed and looking at the available space and looking at the potential for right of way and really trying to be as efficient as they can within the transportation system. So I give them credit in terms of really trying to work with what's available and create that geometric configuration accordingly. And I think they'll end up doing a pretty good job with it.
I see a lot of deer across from the Conrad Mansion in that area. I don't know what they'll think about a roundabout. But
I'm not sure if they pulled them. But, you know, they're more than welcome to come to our open house and leave a comment.
Just don't leave any sign.
That's right.
In the council chambers. Our guest is City Manager Doug Russell. And we passed a levy. That means that you're going to be spending some money and expanding our fire and police departments. We'll talk about that after this.
This may seem like a silly question, but hear me out. My name is Courtney Holquist with Glacier Bank, member FDIC. When operating a business, would you rather things run smoothly or be a hassle? Easy answer, right? Using efficient products and services makes all the difference. Totally free business checking with Glacier Bank is one of those tools. It helps smart business owners like you keep profits up and costs down. Our totally free business checking requires no minimum to open and no monthly service charges. You also get 3,000 free monthly transaction items. Whether you're just starting out or expanding, Glacier Bank wants to keep your business running smoothly and succeed beyond your wildest dreams. Go to glacierbank.com, call, or visit. How about today?
Glacier Bank's Community Conversations. Here again is Robin Mitchell.
Our guest today, Doug Russell, our Kalispell city manager, doing a good job of managing things. Finally, the emergency levy passed, and that's a relief for a lot of people who live here. How's that going to affect the Montana hiring firefighters?
Well, you know, we're in the process right now. They'll go through on the firefighter paramedic side. They do have a statewide consortium that they run testing through. They do it multiple times a year. That basically provides an eligibility list. And then after that, individual participants that have gone through that preliminary testing will then, basically submit applications to departments that they desire to be considered for. So we're eager to see that process go through at the state level and then create those hiring opportunities. You know, we have the good timing right now in that, the levy was on March 19th and a lot of appreciation out to the community for everyone that voted. Our goal was to be able to educate as many people as we could and to encourage them to vote, be it yes or no. We want people to participate in that democratic process, and we're very pleased with the turnout. And obviously the results allow us to go forward with this. So, but the timing of it allows us, as we're just entering into budget season right now, to start and get ready for the hiring. You know, if it had been on a traditional November ballot, then you're gonna end up having to wait it almost a full year till you get those on the rolls. So right now we're looking at that July 1st, once the new fiscal year starts, of being eligible, within our preliminary budget to go forward with the hiring, and we want to get more boots on the ground as soon as possible, so the community can see as quickly as possible what they voted for, and have that already in place and serve the community.
Okay, you mentioned the Montana Firefighter Testing Consortium. Is that kind of like a statewide clearinghouse, and then the next step is physical testing and interviewing at the local level? Or
They'll do various testing at the local level and various parts of the interview process. But that statewide is the first start, where they go through and do a lot of that testing there, just to create that eligibility list.
Okay.
And then basically you get candidates that, hit some of those minimum standards that, you do with any block of applicants. And it's just nice being able to have that at the state level, because that saves a lot of the departments across the state, just a lot of time away. So you have
what
that.
How quickly are we going to be able to implement all this stuff? Do we have a schedule?
Well, so we hope to be able to hire some people in July, straight out.
Yeah.
And, it's going to depend on the applicant pool. Both our departments are taking the approach of character always means so much in these fields and in public service, that, just because we have an applicant pool of, 15 people that would allow us to fill, say, the 10 sworn positions in police, it doesn't mean we're going to take all those 15 if they don't have the character to serve the community in a way that is, fits with the culture and values of the department. So it'll be, dependent on the applicant pools. But like I say, we hope to be hiring, in July, and have people, jumping in, hitting the academies and the training process. And, ideally you get those things staffed up. It takes a good amount of time, get through the academy and through the field training in both the departments. But, 4 to 6 months, we may have people out on their own and out serving. Yeah.
So what about the equipment it's going to take to back up all these people?
Yep, same thing. We'll start. We're going through those budgets right now in terms of, what are the number of patrol vehicles we're going to need. And, when you do a big lump sum, you realize, there's a lot of things that go into simple things you just don't stop and think of. Like, that's going to be, 10 additional service, firearms and tasers and body cameras. And you think, well, that kind of tends to add up. It's which, further demonstrates the need for the levy. But then also, para turnout gear in the fire department is a very expensive component. Mm-hmm. So, we'll be able to get all that in here. And like I said, we're going through the budget process right now, while we're also identifying funding for that station that, is going to come online as well. So we'll start.
Now, we own the property where we're going to put it, right?
Yep. We already own the property, so we can start some of the design work and get plans. Mm-hmm. That'll be the first step in it, and then bidding out. So, that'll probably be more along the lines of, fiscal year late 25 or 26 when we get into the actual construction of it, and, hopefully up and going either in the end of fiscal year 26 or 27 to start serving that area and cutting down on some of those response times. But like I say, it's a different situation to be in where you already have that dedicated funding source, but it allows us to be through that, that process and that timeline. But the main thing we're focused on right now is getting more people out on the street to start that service.
Well, what about the new fire truck?
So which
Aren't
one?
We, well,
so we're talking about staffing another engine full time, and that will be really as soon as we get those people hired.
Do we have the engine? Do we have the
so
truck?
Yeah, we have two engines in rotation right now, and then third there. So even right now we'll start looking forward to that third engine that comes online to have that one in there in the capital improvement plan. But the engine's available. It's just a matter of getting staffing on it and having that dedicated crew on it. So
that's a thought I hadn't considered. You can buy a fire truck, but you got to have guys to run it.
Yeah, that's good. And so like right now, sometimes they'll run an engine crew out of there depending on the call, but they'll cross staff and they'll take either one. This would put that other crew that is pretty much dedicated to the engine all the time. They'll still run on EMS calls. They just can't transport. But it's still another fully staffed crew out there, but it's dedicated really to the engine. So you'll have that at both the stations, just a dedicated crew on the engine.
Well, we're sure looking forward to seeing the implementation of all that. It was quite a Herculean task you guys took on to find the dollars and to, you know, convince us that we needed to tax ourselves a bit more for this.
Well, again, you know, and I go back to, you know, what I talked a little bit about earlier is we really wanted to educate the public and show them, you know, what those third-party reports identified, and then really stress this is a community's decision, and we wanted to give them the information that they we thought was important for them to hear coming out of those reports, and definitely appreciate all the partners across the community that, you know, jumped in and gave us forums, you know, be it the Chamber of Commerce at their, you know, monthly dinner, all the media we got, you know, both paid and invited in, you know, just in, you know, conversations like this were so important to be able to have those forums. So we're very appreciative of, you know, all the different segments of the community that helped facilitate that education component. And then again, obviously the community for coming out and voting. And that's the most important thing.
Well, we sure got an awful lot of information out of Doug Russell this morning.
That's right.
Doug, as always, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me in.
It's Glacier Bank's Community Conversations, a service of Glacier Bank where your checking is totally free. Just about anywhere you are in Northwest Montana, you'll find a Glacier Bank office nearby, keeping you connected to your friends and your community. An important part of the mission of Glacier Bank, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender.